You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good and happy Valentine's Day, Who Dat Nation. Welcome to the second episode of Thursday's Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. And remember, when you get in your car, just tell your smartphone or smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints to tune in to the newest episodes on your commute to work or back home in traffic. I am your host, Ross Jackson, lead analyst over at All Saints. SaintsConsidered.com. And as always, I like to start every episode off with a big thank you and welcome to our newest listeners and to all of those of you who have been rocking with me for a minute, whether it's your first time or your next time. Always love hearing from everyone that tunes in, reads, and follows. So hit me up on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. And of course, that ASC stands for AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news, articles, and podcasts for Saints fans, by Saints fans. And because it is Valentine's Day, this second Thursday episode is all about you, the listeners. I had somebody hit me up with a question that I thought was outstanding, and I thought, you know what? Let's do an entire mailbag episode, and y'all came through with the cues, so I appreciate you doing that. So I'm just going to be talking about all of these questions that I got on Twitter, as well as the Locked On Saints Facebook group, which if you're still not a part of the Locked On Saints Facebook group, what is you doing, baby? Do it. Join. Hit up Facebook, Locked On Saints group, and request to join. I'll get you in there quick. Remember, we do want to do a live mock draft or several live mock drafts with the people, with the listeners, with the family. So I'm going to try to do that next week. That way we get more people involved. So let me get y'all in that group, Locked On Saints on Facebook. And today we're going to be talking about look, is PJ Williams better than Patrick Robinson? Is Drew Brees, did he have an injury, or is it just the regression of his arm strength? What was going on there? Who do you think is a top receiver that the Saints can go after? What are some offseason priorities? I got some balling questions to go through, and this entire episode is going to be devoted to you, the listeners that came through and asked the questions. And then, of course, we have a little bit of news to talk about, so I'm going to start off with that. That's going to be our lanyap today, because you know what it is here on Locked On Saints. All of that, and a little bit of lanyap. It's always your team, every day, right here. So we're going to start off with that little bit of news that we have. The Cincinnati Bengals made it official that they wanted to interview Aaron Glenn, secondary coach of the New Orleans Saints, for their open defensive coordinator position. And the New Orleans Saints were like, nah, and they blocked it. They said, nope, you are not interviewing Aaron Glenn. So Aaron Glenn is not going anywhere at this time. I hate moves like this. I think, you know what I mean? Like, if we're all about player movement and players having a little bit of power and stuff like that, we should be all about coach movement too and allowing coaches to advance themselves. And I get it. Aaron Glenn going to Cincinnati and getting an interview means that he could potentially leave New Orleans and go to Cincinnati to take the defensive coordinator job. That would be terrible for the Saints secondary. But let the man live, yo. Let him live. So I do get a little concerned with moves like this where you're blocking coaches from talking about advancement. I get concerned about them because of bad blood that could come up between the organization and the coach. I don't think that's going to be the case here. But like I said a few episodes ago, I expect Aaron Glenn to be out of New Orleans within the next 3 years anyway. During Dennis Allen's extension, because you know they rehired Dennis Allen as the defensive coordinator, so you know Aaron Glenn doesn't really have a lot of movement, or I guess not really a lot of opportunity for upward movement and sort of promotion, if you can say it like that, in the New Orleans system any longer. So this is just kind of one of those things that sort of adds to my theory that he will be gone within the next few years, and I think that he deserves to advance. He's an outstanding coach. Glad that he'll be back in New Orleans for 2019. The Saints are trying to keep this championship window open for as much as possible, and Aaron Glenn is a huge part of doing exactly that. So since we're talking about the secondary, let me go ahead and jump into our first question here, which was the catalyst for this entire episode. So shout out Matt Gabe at Matt_Gabe, G-A-B-E. Throw him a follow because he is the reason that this episode is all about the listeners here. I was trying to think about topics and stuff like that to come up with it. He came through with a big question. I was like, what else do the people got? So Appreciate you, Matt. Thank you for coming through, man. He said, love the podcast. Thank you, homie. Appreciate you saying that. Question, why is everyone so high on P-Rob? I still have nightmares about blown coverages when he played opposite Jabari Greer. Care to elaborate? He followed it up with, I get that he's more of a slot corner than out on the edge. Just seems that he can't stay healthy and missing coverages a lot. Is he overpaid? What's his Pro Football Focus grade? Is PJ better, cheaper? What's up? So here's the answer that I have for you here. Let's take a look at this. First of all, PJ Williams played an outstanding season in the slot, and his Pro Football Focus overall doesn't really show that due to his struggles on the outside in the same game against Atlanta where P-Rob got hurt in the first place, in which Williams allowed 3 touchdowns and 1 half in a drive. Y'all remember that's the week that they benched Crawley and started PJ on the outside. His overall passer rating allowed altogether was 124.4 on the season, but from the slot where he had a little bit of an adjustment period until the Vikings game, he performed a little bit better at 109.3. In the slot as well, Patrick Robinson wasn't really that much of an improvement in terms of passer rating in the limited snaps that he had at the position, allowing 105.2 total to opposing quarterbacks. But his lack of scores allowed from the slot compared to PJ's 3 will help him stand out a little bit as sort of the better quote-unquote slot corner. Granted, P-Rob only played 64 snaps from the slot while PJ played 390. So this is obviously outweighed, sort of weighed off in the wrong side anyway. So this all kind of stacks up against PJ from the first place just in terms of playing time. But the per snap stats tell a story that Robinson was actually the better option in coverage. Now notice I'm saying that, in coverage, with a whopping 16 snaps per target compared to PJ's 6.6, which suggests that Robinson was defending better, and also the film shows that as well. He just didn't allow the same type of separation to slot receivers and tight ends that Williams did. Additionally, Robinson's 0.58 yards allowed per snap was the best on the team out of corners that took at least 20 snaps from the position, which again is not a lot of snaps. However, PJ's additional value came in run support, and this is important. He graded remarkably as a run defender in the secondary according to PFF. His overall grade suffered because of his early coverage struggles, totaled a low 55.0 grade, but had an 83.8 grade for run defense, an elite grade of 90.4 for tackling, 58 tackles recorded with only one miss, and a 72.2 pass rush grade after notching 7 pressures, including a sack. Unfortunately for him, his 48.0 coverage grade, weighted at the position that he plays, severely dropped his overall. That's why he ended up with that low 55 grade. But it can't go without being said that his tackling and run game value are huge at his position at nickel corner. It's why the Saints finished second in the league in run defense despite running a base nickel package down a linebacker. Williams is a big part of what the Saints did well last season, and that should be taken into account. Now, this is what I also want to say, and this is a bit of an unpopular opinion. I think that a lot of people are high on Patrick Robinson because he was the most consistent cornerback in the team at the top of the season before he got hurt, with Crawley being benched and Lattimore underwhelming early in the shadow of his award-winning rookie campaign. That, coupled with his past successes in Philly, which made him the best cornerback available in free agency according to Pro Football Focus, creates a bit of a cloud around his performance this season. Not that his performance was bad, but certainly his past has sort of heightened his present value. PJ struggled in coverage, yes, but his health and his play in the slot once he settled in were perfect for the New Orleans defense as it began its trend upward. I liked what PJ did, and I consider him one of the most improved players on the team in 2008, and I would be happy to see him back in 2019 to compete right away with Patrick Robinson for the slot position so that there's no questions asked. But I truly think that Robinson's past success has helped to formulate the current excitement around his upcoming return. As for salary, Williams would definitely be the cheaper option. Robinson is currently on the third year, or really on the second year, he's got 3 years left, of a 4-year, $20 million contract with $10 million guaranteed and $5 million already paid out and $5 million due next year, which means that if he were to be released, that the Saints would essentially break even. But I definitely don't expect him to do that, especially with the wavering depth that they are suffering with at the position next season. Williams just played out his 5th-year option on his rookie contract, and unless another team were to offer to overpay him, New Orleans should should be able to bring him back and probably on the cheap at that, considering the offseason DUI arrest in particular. If they do so, it's going to be the top position battle to watch along with the wide receiver number two battle throughout training camp. All right, y'all, we went way long in this first segment, but this was important. This was a good question. I wanted to make sure that I got this in. So we're going to go to a break here. When we come back, I have a bunch more questions. Biggest potential pickup for the offseason, biggest pickup from last offseason, all of that. Drew Brees, who's the heir, all of that coming up next right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Thank you so much for being here. All right, y'all, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Back with this Valentine's Day episode, mailbag questions on questions on questions. Let's dive right back in. At Bishop on Kenner asks, who's the biggest pickup this offseason for the Saints? So I looked at this in two ways. Biggest pickup for last season that affected this past season, and who can be the biggest pickup for this upcoming season for this offseason? So the best pickup this past season, without a doubt, DeMario Davis. The second level at the linebacker position was just outstanding for the first time in New Orleans for ages, it feels like. And that was a big part of what DeMario Davis did. He helped to boost the communication, diagnosis. He helped the disguises throughout the season as the unit got better and better and better with his and Cam Jordan's leadership. He's a fun presence in the locker room with all the dance parties at the ends of wins, a leader in the linebacker room, helping to get all of the work done off the field, and a pioneer alongside with Ben Watson in the community, making huge changes in local politics. Without a doubt, he was the best pickup in 2009 in New Orleans. Some would say best in the league. This year, there are several impact free agents at positions of need that the Saints could target. I think the biggest impact player they could get would be somebody to help shore up the interior defensive line. Originally, I would have talked about a pass catching tight end like Jesse James or Jimmy Graham, but with the injury to Sheldon Rankins and the possible suspension ahead for David Onyemata, a big impact piece will be needed in free agency to help plug that gap. And Ndamukong Suh could rehash his options with the Saints, much to the dismay of the Who Dat Nation. Gerald McCoy, as you know, is my favorite target if he were to become available. Grady Jarrett, less likely to hit free agency, but could end up being an option. And Muhammad Wilkerson could even be a cheap option coming off of his injury, who the Saints were interested in last year. The big thing is finding someone that can work in the interior line as a pass rusher, but can have offer some value in the run game as well until likely October, when we're expected to see one or two of Onyemata or Rankins to be back. Got a few free agency questions here. Brian Williams over at the Locked On Saints Facebook group asked, do you think that the Saints will go after a top wide receiver free agent, or will they hope that Cameron Meredith returns to the Bears form and be the number two? Yeah, they certainly could go after someone like Golden Tate if he hits the market from Philly. However, I expect the Saints to focus more on getting Dez Bryant back into the locker room first, especially if he rehabs from that Achilles injury well. He'll likely come back cheap because the injury itself, and also for the sake of remaining with the team that he wants to be with. The Saints drew him out of free agency near the middle of last season, despite him not taking any of the offers and contracts that he was offered around the league. He wants to be in New Orleans. If they hold on to Bryant, I think that they'll also hold on to Meredith. Actually, either way, they're going to be in good shape to add a cheaper free agent like J.J. Nelson, Jamison Crowder, or Cole Beasley to run in the slot along with Keith Kirkwood, or to find somebody in that very deep wide receiver class in the draft. At Phil's Take on Twitter asks, what should the Saints' focus be this upcoming draft and postseason? I got a couple things here. Firstly, focusing on maintaining Mark Ingram is a must in terms of postseason success. He could be the difference between a letter grade and offseason grades, if you believe in that sort of thing, especially if the Saints were to land other key contributors at positions of need. I expect them to target those positions in free agency in order to put themselves in position to take best player available with their first pick in round two of the draft. That would mean retaining as much of the starting team as possible, which isn't that hard considering only a couple of starters have contracts that are up this offseason in Ingram, Okafor, and then potentially PJ Williams. Second, working on the interior defensive line, which you just heard me talk about a moment ago. Third, landing another safety, as I expect Kurt Coleman to be on his way out the door. Marcus Williams and Von Bell did perform well last season, though Williams had a drop off in terms of takeaways a little. It depends on how you look at it. He had the same number of takeaways, just one fewer interception and one more forced fumble. So it kind of depends depends on how you look at it. Getting another playmaking safety out there would be a huge win for New Orleans. You've heard me talk about some names before, like Tyrann Mathieu and Adrian Phillips, if they become available in March. They are also big ticket guys like Landon Collins and Earl Thomas, but with the Jarris Bird fiasco still seared into our memories, I don't know how I feel about spending big on a free agent safety. At least though, we don't have his injury concerns, though ET3 has been banged up a little bit toward the latter part of his career. When it comes to the draft, a pass catcher is a huge need, not only for win now mentalities, but also for the future. Michael Thomas is looking like the best receiver in the league. In fact, he graded as such in several different metrics, according to James Coe, Next Gen Stats Analyst. But he could use some help in the pass catching game, whether it be at wide receiver or tight end. I'm extremely confident in Keith Kirkwood in the slot, but there is such a deep wide receiver and tight end class in the draft this year that they don't necessarily need to go there with their first pick. They could instead go offensive line, which also matches with that win now mentality and future mentality, where the depth is getting shaky and injury concerns are rising. They could then wait until day three to go after tight end or wide receiver and, you know, somebody that they can coach up, like a Foster Moreau, tight end out of LSU, Gary Jennings Jr., wide receiver out of West Virginia, or hopefully Terry McLaurin out of Ohio State. But he's going to test super well in the combine, and we know the NFL loves a good combine test, so his stock's going to rise. Going offensive line in the second round would probably sounds boring, but if the Saints were to gain enough positive momentum through free agency, they can afford to look for a guy to impact the future in the draft. Man, I love that y'all brought the fire with these questions. Thank y'all so much. This is so exciting for me. Y'all can probably tell I'm excited. This episode, like if you listen to this episode and then go back to the first episode that I did, I'm probably mad loud in this episode. So I appreciate y'all for getting me excited with this. Stick around, because when we come back, we got some questions about Mark Ingram, got a question about Drew Brees and his arm, the air, and whether or not the Saints should consider trading their number one from next year in order to move up in the draft. They got all that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Continuing with our Valentine's Day mailbag, first question for this segment comes from Ricky at RickyT105 on Twitter. Just tell us that any speculation of Ingram going elsewhere is a waste of time, right? Potentially, yes. He and the club have both stated their intent to re-up a new contract to keep Ingram in New Orleans, but it will come down to how much money they're willing to offer. Market value is expected to be around $4.4 million, which is more than achievable for New Orleans, especially with the other trims that they can make with releases, trades, and restructuring other contracts. But it'll be more about his willingness to take something at market value as opposed to settling with another team that's willing to go above that. I think that he'll be back, as I'm inclined to believe it when the Saints say that they want to retain him and when he says he wants to stay, but it'll all come down to figures in March. But for right now, I'm confident that he'll stick around. Our next question comes from CrowsRose24 on Twitter, who had a question about where to spend big in free agency, secondary, defensive line, or wide receiver. If I stick with those three, I would definitely stay with my usual narrative here and say interior defensive line. I think that the wide receiver class in both free agency and the draft is super deep, and the safety class is too, with well-known free agents and prospects like big hitter Marquise Blair, versatile safety Ugo Amadi, who you've heard me talk about here on the podcast before, and the underappreciated Malik Gant out of Marshall, who I really like. I just started watching film on him after Barry Hurstius mocked him to New Orleans in the sixth round, and John Ledyard speaks very highly of him over at the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, which I recommend you definitely subscribe to, especially as the combine rolls around. They can go and find cheaper options at wide receiver, tight end, and in the secondary, but they should spend big for an impact guy in the middle of the defensive line, because you have to win in the trenches if you want to win in the NFL. At Mayor of Metri, one of the better Twitter handles I've seen before, Mayor of Metri asked, do you think that Brees got hurt, or is his age a factor in his lack of arm strength toward the end of the season? Any potential errors in the draft class that we should look at? Definitely age. And I know y'all are gonna get mad at me for saying it, but look, it's age. I mean, look, the guy is gonna be 41 by next season's end, and he can't, you know, he can still get it down the field more times than not, but really, he makes his money in the short and intermediate parts of the field, and that's fine. I talked Monday about his incredible 83% completion percentage on targets less than 10 yards ahead of the line of scrimmage, equating in a 15-1 touchdown and interception total. That's super dope. There's nothing wrong with with a lack of arm strength. His lack of arm strength is evident, but it's not debilitating, and he's evolved with the NFL game, quicker passes to speed routes, and utilizing his weapons out of the backfield. Like, I might anger some people when I say that his arm strength is down because of age, but let's not pretend like he's making the same downfield passes that he was making 10 years ago when, you know, 3 of 5 of his interceptions were on underthrown downfield balls this season, and 55 downfield attempts were his least since 2007. He can still play. Obviously, he's still one of the best to ever play the quarterback position altogether. I would take this year's Drew Brees over just about any other quarterback in the NFL, but it's because he's smart enough to adjust his play style as his career has progressed. Now, as for heirs in the draft, Will Greer could be an option for the Saints in the second round, but I wouldn't call him heir material. I talked on Tuesday about Kyler Murray's fit with the Saints. Should the Saints decide to go after him, which would, you know, require trading quite a bit of future draft capital for somebody that still needs development in order to work in the NFL, but he'd be the most likely quote-unquote heir I could see the Saints going for if they really believe in his abilities in their system. Otherwise, I'd still steer clear of a quarterback in this draft until day 3, take a developmental prospect late without risking future draft stock in the process. Along those same lines, All Saints considered contributor Dom Lewis, make sure y'all throw him a follow at BigFellow122, asked the question that I've thought about pretty often throughout the offseason so far. Should the Saints consider trading a future first, to get another pick in the top 100? And here's the thing, if they want to get a pick in the top 100, no, absolutely not. You can move AJ Klein for a fourth rounder and still get into that range. But if they want to get somebody like Kyler Murray, who we were just talking about, in the first round, then sure. Though I'm still skeptical about that idea, but I wouldn't put up a future first rounder just to get into one of those top 4 rounds when you could move another target like AJ Klein or even Andris Peat. And especially if they get a versatile guard in the second round, if they do decide to go offensive line. But if you're trying to get into the first round for a quarterback, you'll likely need to package a couple of future picks this round, second probably, and perhaps one of those players. If they have a guy that they believe in that much, it wouldn't be my place to disagree, but I'd certainly question continuing to give away future picks like we're the Pelicans or something. Another ASC contributor here, Gareth Crosby, who you can follow at GarethCrosby81, gives us a nice wrap-up question, kind of the culmination of a lot of stuff that we've been talking about throughout this episode. What's the biggest thing that the Saints need to address in this offseason? My list goes as follows. Interior defensive lineman, y'all hear me harping on it all the time. Pass catching threat at either the wide receiver or tight end position, preferably tight end, with the likelihood of re-signing a hopefully healthy Dez Bryant. Then looking for a safety to roll with Williams and Bell once Coleman is cut. And then situationally, I throw in the midst of those three things, a versatile offensive lineman for depth, potentially to replace Peat if cut or traded, would save the Saints over $9.5 million if that happened, and then finding another running back if Ingram signs elsewhere, lower priority, Ingram stays, and then finding a third running back to run with the crew. And then I guess I would be remiss in that if I weren't also to mention the potential of re-signing Teddy Bridgewater. That's in there somewhere as well. All right, y'all, that does it for today's Valentine's Day mailbag episode. Thank you so much for coming through with those great questions. Can't wait to do this again. Now that we're into the off season, I'm going to start kind of scheduling and sort of building a schedule for what every day is going to be. And I think we're going to start doing a mailbag Monday, especially as we continue to get more and more questions with the off season rolling through and things like that. So look forward to that. If you have more questions, go ahead and shoot them to me over on Twitter at @RossJacksonASC. Join the Locked On Saints Facebook group. You can post them there as well. And get ready to join me next week for the live mock drafts, plural, that we'll do with the family over there. But for right now, as always, I just want to say thank you so much for being here, and thank you everybody for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at @RossJacksonASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the podcast, and please take some time to rate and review. Every little bit helps a lot. To find Locked On Saints, you can make sure that you tell Siri, Google, or Alexa, whatever your smart device is, to play podcast Locked On Saints, especially in your car, and make sure that you're subscribed so that you know when the newest episodes drop every day of the week. Thank you so much for all of your support and helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust, Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.